Appreciate it.
Amen.
Mike, and I done forgot. So I thought it was hard enough, preaching tonight after the message this morning with the baptisms, and then the girls come here out here and do that. So great. You know, so if you're looking for a finale, I'm not the finale. I was definitely born to be the opening act, you know. So, you know, that being the case, I just ask that the Lord, you know, be with me and, give me the words he had me to say. Some of this is going to be a little redundant for those of you that were in Brother Joel's class last week. I started a message that I didn't quite get through, and in studying for it to finish tonight, it turned into something totally different. So we're going to try to blend the two together so it makes sense. I don't know if it will, but hopefully somebody gets something out of it. Pastor did say that I preached a few times back in Florida. That's true. However, there were not this many eyeballs. It was a much smaller church. A lot less people to stare at you, a lot less amens. We only had a couple people that would even, you know, acknowledge you were there, you know, sometimes. So I don't know how Pastor did it for as long as he did, but I only did it for about a year, and that was nerve-wracking enough. So I appreciate the opportunity, you know, giving up your pulpit. We're going to start with Matthew 26, if y'all want to open there. You know, as I mentioned, we're looking inward tonight. This morning, Pastor asked us to really focus on the blessings and put aside our worries, right? He asked us to put aside our stress, things that are keeping us from, you know, truly following the Lord and feeling, you know, that our issues are bigger than they truly are, right? In doing that, it kind of tied in with my message from last week, which was an acrostic on pride, which I'll go through those for those of you that weren't, you know, in that class. The P in pride stands for putting ourselves first. If we're putting ourselves first, we're definitely not putting God in the forefront, are we? Amen. Right? If we're allowing ourselves to be filled up in this vessel that he gave us while we're here, there's no room for the Spirit. This vessel should be filled with the Spirit at all times. Now, do we struggle? Absolutely. But this word gives us comfort in knowing he's always there. He's never going to move. Amen. Right? Amen. So the R in pride was refusing God's commandments. Right? If we're filling ourselves up with pride, what are we doing with God? We're telling him no. Do you want to answer to the Lord by telling him no in any way, shape, or form? I don't. But we do it. We do it on a daily basis. Right, there's many forms of pride. We went through, you know, a couple of them during Sunday school. There's positional pride, where people in power, you know, can think they're better than those that answer to them. You know, that's not where we want to be. That's not how God is with us. Right, we're going to look into these verses here. We're going to actually see that Jesus himself fell on his face, prayed to God. If he can do it, there's no reason none of us should avoid it, right? I know I got back and neck problems. I don't get down as much as I should, and some of you have some physical ailments. We're not talking about that. But those of you that are able, we're no better than Jesus. If Jesus can do it when he knew he was about to die for our sins, what we did wrong, he did nothing wrong. It was all us. And he was still able to put his face on the ground and praise and give God the glory. So we need to be willing to do the same thing. The I in pride was ignoring the Spirit. If we're full with pride, the Spirit has nowhere to go, right? We're quenching the Spirit, right? Most people say quenching your thirst. Well, if quenching the Spirit is, you know, knocking the Spirit out of where he rightly wants to be. You know, we asked him to come into our hearts. We need to let him stay there. Right? For those that are lost, they don't have the Spirit in them yet. So they're still, you know, ignoring the Spirit as well. But it's our job to help, you know, get them there. But those of us that are already there, we need to make sure we're not ignoring the Spirit and not putting ourselves in place. The D was denying the Lord's will. We all know God's got a plan that most of us don't understand, right? How many times have we changed directions over our lives, you know, with be it finances, you know, house, you know, location, job, you know, your significant other, right? You know, you may not have married the first person you ever dated. You know, I kind of did. I got lucky that way. We were a blind date to her senior prom. So I, you know, was blessed to find mine early in life. Not everyone's able to do that. But when we follow what he wants for us and try to understand what his perfect will is, whether we accomplish it or not, we're going to get a whole lot closer to it than if we're not trying at all, right? So we can't deny his will by letting pride get involved, right? He didn't give us anything that we deserve, right? We didn't do anything to earn it. Everything we have is from him. So those that question, you know, what you may do, like, you know, people that don't come in this building, right? They may think we're out of our minds. Why do we spend so much time, so much energy, so much money, you know, doing something for something we can't see? Right? To some, they call us crazy. Let them call us crazy. You know, let them think that we're out of our minds. But be willing to be that crazy person that comes up to them and explains what the Lord has done for them. Right? They've been going through life without him. Ask them how that's been working out, right? I can't imagine they've been blessed more than we have. You know, they've been blessed, surely. We've all been blessed. It's whether or not we accept that free gift to, you know, really realize that perfect will and do what the Lord wants. So that leads us to E, which was emphasize the world. So pride, again, is putting ourselves first, refusing God's commandments, ignoring the Spirit, denying Lord's will, and emphasizing the world. So nothing of that is what we ought to be, right? So that's all recap. I try to get through it quickly so I can actually get to the part I studied this week. So, Joel, thank you for letting me have your class and getting through and catching that up. So these things all have a common denominator, right? There's three E's I want you all to write down. So they have an earthly impact with our witness, right? If we let pride overtake our lives, we're not witnessing. We're involved in our own problems, our own issues, you know, our own finances, what have you. You know, if it's a kid at school, you know, playing sports, it could be our health. I know health's serious, but health ain't as serious as our soul, right? Ain't as serious as what we're here for. You know, we're supposed to witness to get people to come to know the Lord and get to heaven. We're not supposed to witness to, you know, have them be the healthiest people in the world, right? You know, their soul is way more important. So we want to impact that while we're here on earth. But it also has an everlasting impact on determining our walk, right? Determining our walk. If we let pride in the way, our relationship is severed, right? We're not walking with the Lord like we should be. Most of us call that backsliding. How many are guilty of backsliding? Everybody. Every hand should have gone up because ain't none of us perfect, right? Some of us backslide more than others. Some of us do it a little more publicly than privately, but we all do it, right? And we all need to, you know, put that pride aside and understand that that's what's in the way, right? We don't want to, you know, dwell in it. When you dwell in pride, that's where, you know, thoughts go to your heart. Your heart goes to your mind. You know, your soul, your actions, they come out of your mouth, and then, you know, we're just in a world of hurt. You know, in Brother Joel's class, we went over briefly the story of David and Bathsheba, right, where he took, you know, one bad act and multiply it, you know, over and over, right? He went from just, you know, committing adultery in his mind, letting it get into his heart, forcing her, you know, to come unto him, and then killing her husband to try to cover it up. You know, that is crazy, right? You know, if that's not pride, I don't know what it is. But now we all know the Lord gave him a chance to repent, but his punishment was they lost that baby, right? That should not have, you know, been. But he repented, you know, when Nathan brought the story to him, and repented, and they were blessed with four more, you know, children. So we can be prideful and still be forgiven, right? David was forgiven. So there's nothing we can do here on earth that he will not forgive us for if we're willing to ask. But if we're not asking, we're letting pride stay in the way of that walk. You know, we don't want to be deterring anything that God has for us. We don't want to deter any path that God has for us. There's people in your life that you're going to come across in your little circle that I may never get to talk to, right? If you're letting pride get in the way, you're not going to be able to impact that person, or at least impact them in the way God wants, right? We do have an impact, no matter what you think. When you're out in the world, you could be at Walmart just shopping, right? You stub your toe. What's a natural reaction? Somebody yell, right? Ouch. You know, darn it. Dang it, or something worse, right? So we got to be mindful that no matter where we are, the Lord's always there. People are always watching. We're a witness whether we think we are or not. So whether we're in a good place with the Lord and our walk, you know, is where we want it to be or not, you know, we're going to have an everlasting impact, you know, deterring our walk and determining, you know, impact on others. But the 30 is eternal impact with our relationship with the Lord. So if we're letting pride overtake our lives, then our rewards are going to be short. In his perfect will, he's put aside, you know, an infinite amount of rewards that is sitting there waiting for us. And when we choose pride over listening to the Lord, we're basically saying, no, thank you. I don't want those rewards. I'd rather do this. And there's nothing in this world that we should rather do than accept God's rewards. That's about as blasphemous as you can get, right? So tonight, when I started to get into this lesson, you know, and it went a different direction, we're going to kind of skip down in Matthew. I believe I told y'all 26, right? Okay. So Matthew 26, verse 7, is where Judas was overcome with the greed and envy that the woman, you know, gave her ointment, you know, and poured it over Jesus' head, right? Yeah. Most people would think, well, he's just wanting the money, right? Because he was the bagger, the treasurer, you know, and been skimming over the top, you know, his whole life, and he's just jealous about the money. Well, he's not really, you know, hard up for money. And when he goes and turns Jesus in, he accepts whatever they give him, which was 30 pieces of silver. That's not a lot. That's the same amount as what an average slave cost. That's what he gave Jesus up for. The same as a common slave. Which means he didn't really put Jesus first in his life. He had pride in his life the whole time. And he was jealous of her reward. So we'll pick it up here. Matthew 26. I went too far. Verse 7, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when the disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? And I want to stop here in 8, because what does that beginning say? But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation. It doesn't say Judas, right? It says the disciples. One can infer that's all of them, right? He didn't say only some of them. He didn't say Judas. He didn't mention anybody by names. So they all at least thought the same way, right? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. Now, while the other disciples may have truly thought that could have done a greater work, you know, had it been sold, that is not what Judas, you know, was thinking, right? And it's definitely not what Jesus was thinking. Look in verse 10. So when Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. And this is when Judas gets upset. Right? None of the other disciples get upset. Verse 14, then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went unto the chief priests. So immediately upon Lord, you know, giving the woman, you know, his admiration for, you know, her sacrifice. And think about that ointment, right? To cover somebody's body, not just their feet, they said it covered him from his head, right? How long did it take her to amass that amount of ointment? Probably a lifetime, right? You know, it didn't say she was a rich woman. She wasn't mentioned by name. So she gave her whole life's work for that one act of service for the Lord. While Judas pretended his whole life to be a servant of God and was really stabbing the Lord in the back the entire time. So in 15, he says, and said unto them, what will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. So as I mentioned, 30 pieces, that's it. Same as the slave. He didn't haggle with them. He didn't say, I want more. Okay, thank you. You know, went on his way. And from then on, he sought the opportunity to betray him. And we know further on, that's exactly what he does. What I challenge us to think about, you know, is whether you're a boy, man, woman, child, doesn't matter. If you had the choice to be one of God's disciples or that woman that waited for her one moment in life to give all that she had, which would you rather be? And for us men, it's hard to think of ourselves as a woman, right? Because we're not wired that way. But I tell you what, I definitely wouldn't want to be Judas, you know, if I'm choosing between the two. You know, at this point, I probably wouldn't want to be one of the disciples either, because they questioned just as much as Judas did. Judas just gets the blame. And that led me to a whole nother verse of scriptures, which maybe we'll get into. But in verse 21, after he betrays him, verse 22, they were all exceedingly sorrowful. And began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? Right? Yeah. So what does that mean there? That means every disciple, not just Judas, every one of them thought they were capable of being the one that betrayed Jesus. Why would they think they're capable? The only reason they could think they were capable was because they were having similar thoughts, you know, and similar backsliding that Judas had. Right? There's no other answer for it. So if the disciples had it in them to betray Jesus, we definitely have it in us. Amen. They walked with him. Amen. No, we've never seen him. We're going to see him one day, but we ain't seen him yet. So I don't want us to get caught up in, you know, everyday life. And, you know, I know Brother Ethan, you know, just got a promotion, and that's all well and good. But we don't want to let promotions in life or status, you know, at work or anywhere like that or in the church get in the way of what the Lord wants. When we do that, you know, a whole world of hurt comes our way. You know, it affects every aspect of our lives. And when all of the disciples, you know, asked whether or not it was I, one by one, he answered them. In verse 23, and he said, he that dippeth his hand with me in his dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. So I thought about that for a little bit. We know he's talking about Judas, right? Judas knows he's talking about Judas. So if Judas wasn't born, who then was going to be the one that actually filled Judas' spot? If we were alive in that day and time, it could have been us. None of us want to think that we'd be capable of that. But it says clearly right here that we probably would be. So this in verse 24, he shouldn't have been born. Then going into 25, Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, "Master, is it I?" He said unto him, "Thou hast said." And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." So even after calling them out, all of the disciples, even after Judas, you know, knowing that he's talking about him, he still went on to break bread with them and blessed it. What does that mean for us? We mess up. We mess up every day. Sometimes we mess up dozens of times a day. But he's still willing to forgive us as long as we ask for it. He's still going to be with us, you know, up in heaven. We're still going to be able to break bread with him. We're going to have eternal life. We're going to have an everlasting relationship with him. And we don't want to do anything here while we're down here for whatever little time we have. They say, you know, our time here is but a vapor, right? We could all go today. We could all go tomorrow. But what time we do have here, we got to make the most of it. We don't want to do anything that's going to deter our relationship and eternal impact with the Lord. I'm not saying it's easy. We all know it's not, right? I mean, this church has, you know, shared many tears with one another, which I appreciate, you know, everyone being willing to, you know, acknowledge, you know, they have shortcomings and they're regretful and they confess that to the Lord. You know, we all need to be willing to do that. It's something I'm trying to work on. I've only come up here a couple times, but I will tell you, it's uplifting, you know, to those that don't, for the ones that do. So those of you that do that, please continue to do so. It's a blessing. You know, you're witnessing, you know, while also asking, you know, for forgiveness at the same time, right? So while I know we're thinking about ourselves and all the wicked things that we're doing, you know, when we're asking for forgiveness, we're also showing others, you know, the right way to handle it, right? You know, if we're not, you know, handling the sins that we commit, you know, on a daily basis the right way, we're going to get off the wrong path. You know, we're not going to raise our children right. You know, and we already know the condition this country's in. You know, I can't imagine what it's going to be in if we let another generation, you know, grow up the way that this current one has. So we got to start getting more involved, being more vocal, taking more risk, putting ourselves out there. You know, as I mentioned before, at my work, they're a diverse company, and they're now preaching this and shoving, you know, different surveys our way. And I had a couple Christian employees come to me and say, "Hey, I don't want to fill this out." I said, "Then don't. I'm not making you. That's the company asking you to fill out a survey. You know, if you and the Lord have a different view on life, that's between you and the Lord. You know, if they want to fire me over not making my folks do a survey they don't believe in, they can fire me. You know, it's a job. The Lord's provided the finances up till now. He'll provide them tomorrow. You know, so I'm not worried about that. But we all have an opportunity to stand up for the Lord in small ways like that, right? But do we always do it, right? Even if we're just remaining silent. Silence is still basically, you know, saying, "Hey, I'm lining up with the devil's army." You know, do you want to be a soldier for God or you want to be a soldier for Satan? I want to be a soldier for God. Amen. So with every disciple choosing to follow the Lord and Judas betraying him, we know we probably wouldn't have acted any different. That's a hard pill to swallow, you know, if you really think about it. You have Jesus pouring his heart out, dropping to his face, praying to the Lord, knowing he's been betrayed, knowing these disciples that he's, you know, elevated and kept with him all these, you know, years with his walk, knowing what he wants them to do after he's gone, not really doing anything when he needs them. The verse I want to flip to now to kind of illustrate that is in John chapter 15. Verse 1, so I'm the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Now, most people are like, that's a tongue twister. What's he saying there? Saying, believe in him. Let him abide in you. If he's indwelling in you, then you're going to follow what he wants. You're going to spread the word. You're going to spread the fruit, right? But some of us in here are in the pest control business. You know, understand how plants work, probably a little more than others. But some of you have been gardeners your whole life, so you may know more than us. But a branch can still be attached to the vine even though it's dead, right? How many dead branches you seen on a tree or, you know, even grass, right? Grass root has a dead runner on it, but it's still attached, right? But it doesn't have any life flowing through it. Where that life? We have to be, you know, attached to the Lord, to the vine. If we're not attached, we're not bearing fruit. Right? If we're not bearing fruit, we're not following what he wants. When we read on here in John, we'll skip down just for sake of time to verse 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. So if we're a dead branch, we're no different than being burned, you know, thrown away, cast aside. We're useless. We're not doing what he wants. So while we're here, we need to abide, right? Verse 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. I'm going to read that again. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might be remain in you, that your joy might be full. Amen. If we're full of joy, we're going to spread the joy. Amen. But we can't spread anything if we're full of pride. Amen. Right? There's no room for joy. There's no room for the Spirit. You know, if the pride is in the way. And greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now, we know we have a security crew in this church that are willing to do exactly that for all of us, right? And we appreciate it. You know, we may not all say it. We may not even know all of you that are on that team, but we appreciate your willingness to put down your lives to protect us. just as, you know, the military protects us, you know, when the government actually lets them. Let me not get off on that. I'm going to center myself, Lord. All right. But you're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants. For the servant knoweth not what the Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. So he's not asking us to be robots, right? He gave us free will to follow him, you know, willingly. You know, and we're friends for doing so. We need to have that relationship. Amen. The Lord should be your best friend, amen, contrary to what your wife says. Lord, wife. Close second, but still second, right? For those of you that don't have a wife yet, just make sure, you know, she's in the right mind frame before you pop the question. Because they don't change their minds. So, you know, I probably am going to get in trouble, Brother Joel. In verse 16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whosoever ye should ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Amen. Now, that's the good part of this, you know, chapter. The next part, you know, is kind of, you know, not as loving, right? But it's still real. It's still his word. Amen. You know, this gets into the hatred of the world. You know, we know the world hates us. But they hated him first. Right? He took all that hate and all that, you know, punishment, you know, crucifixion for us. I can't even imagine what being crucified feels like. You know, y'all think of the greatest pain you've ever gone through. Every piece of pain you've ever gone through, all at once, times a thousand. And what he went through was probably still worse. That's just unimaginable to me. And I have a pretty high threshold for pain. I can't imagine why he would do that for us. We don't deserve it. We are so insignificant, it's not even funny. We fail him on a daily basis. We let ourselves get full of pride. We're envious. We covet others, you know, possessions, you know. We ask for forgiveness, and for that, we thank him. Amen. You know, if we didn't have the ability to ask for forgiveness and be forgiven, you know, I don't know where we'd be. I know, you know, some of y'all have witnessed and said you'd probably be in jail or, you know, drunk at the end of a ditch somewhere. I can tell you I had a devious mind before I came to know the Lord. I couldn't tell you what I would be right now, but it wouldn't be good, you know. So I thank him for stepping in and being that, you know, bridge for me, you know, allowing me to come to know the Father. You know, but if the world hates us, let's get into verse 18 here. We'll try to finish up. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. So that tells us not to take it personally, right? They hate us because he loves us. And I'd much rather take his love than anything the world has to offer. You know, we play this game with Caden when we're eating sometimes. Would you rather? And I gave him one he didn't quite really like. But I said, would you rather be able to read your Bible, have a relationship with the Lord every day? And he's a big football fan. Or be somebody like Patrick Mahomes, you know, and have what the world would think is everything, right? He's famous. He's rich. You know, has a family, good career, sports. And he pondered for about a minute. Well, probably 10 seconds. So I'm exaggerating. But he said the right answer, right, which was to be able to read the Bible and know the Lord. But most of us, you know, would pause and think about that first, right? You know, or at least we know the world would. How many people out in the world would choose, you know, a life like, you know, an NFL quarterback, you know, versus following the Lord? That's sad, right? We can reach them. We're still here. We still have time. There's still people to be witnessed to fill up the bride, right? He hasn't come yet. So we got to, you know, be able to spread that fruit, be that word. In verse 20, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Where would we be if we didn't know him?
Amen.
What kind of influence would we have? Who would we touch? Would all of us even know each other? How different our lives would be.
That's right.
Right? I know without the Lord, I probably would have never ended up in Lafayette. Everyone keeps asking, what brought you to Lafayette? The Lord. You know, I don't know what else to say. You know, it wasn't a job, you know, because I'm still with the same company. I actually got promoted 2 weeks after moving here that I didn't know that was coming. But when we walk with the Lord, we just want to be mindful to empty ourselves, right? Don't let pride get in the way. Amen. Leave room for the Spirit. You know, make sure we're not negatively impacting, you know, the rewards and our walk while we are here. Verse 23, he that hateth me hateth my Father also. We have a lot of people that don't know the Lord, you know, in our daily lives. I can probably count at least 20 or so that work for me. And you can tell by their actions or, you know, different things that they definitely don't know the Lord. And it's a fine line witnessing to them. Trust me, I cross it because I feel the Lord wants me to. But I ask first, you know, I open the door by asking if I can pray for them. If they say no, then I don't go any further. They say yes. Well, that's just one step, right? Then we pray. You know, you pray, you know, in writing, then you pray verbally with them. You know, it's baby steps, right? You know, you got to be willing to put yourself out there. The world's going to hate us for whatever we do. We know that. Don't be surprised by it. Don't run from it. You know, the Lord has put us here to be a beacon of light for him. You know, to spread the word, to allow, you know, others to come to know him. If we're silent, you know, whether we're vocalizing one way or another, silence is working for the other team. You know, we're not working for the Lord if we're being silent. Verse 24, if I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin, but now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. They can hate us, and they probably have cause, right? We're not perfect. They see us sin on a regular basis. Jesus never sinned. There wasn't one person that could say otherwise. They tried. They tried hard to get somebody to admit that Jesus did something wrong, and they couldn't find one. While we can't be perfect, we can strive to be the perfect version of what the Lord wants us to be. Last verse here, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. While we haven't been with him from the beginning, the disciples were. Judas was. So I ask you what I asked y'all to picture earlier. If you had the choice leaving here, going this day forward, would you rather be the woman that gave all of her ointment to pour over Jesus' head? Or would you rather be a Judas pretending to serve the Lord, stabbing a knife in his back the whole time? Pastor?